This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Spring has sprung here in New Hampshire. The lilacs are in bloom, trees are leafing, and a chorus of birdsong fills the air. If you'd like to identify the birds you see and hear in your yard, you might turn to a typical field guide. But if you want to seek out a specific breed or a bird event, you'll need a plan. Eric Masterson's new book, Birdwatching in New Hampshire, is a hyper-local guide to the best birding spots and events the state has to offer. Eric is a birdwatching tour leader and protection specialist with the Harris Center for Conservation Education, and he's here to talk about finding New Hampshire's best birds. Welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you, Virginia. It's good to be here.
So what are some of the elements that go into seeing a particular breed of bird?
Well, I always tell people, find the habitat first. So if you want to find bobolinks, you go to a field. If you want to find wood thrush, you go to a forest. So the first thing is, you know, find out what it is that you want to see and then go find the right habitat for that. And what I've tried to do in the book is also to emphasize the role that weather and time of year have. And so there's about 300 species of birds occur in the state on an annual basis, which is really remarkable considering that the U.S. or the North American continent has about 810. Most field guides to the U.S. have about, or sorry, to the North American continent have about 810, 820 species. And you can reasonably expect to see 300 in New Hampshire on an annual basis if you're out and about. Well, if you're incredibly keen and you're out and about, most people wouldn't come close to that. But that's what occurs in the state on an annual basis. But weather has a huge bearing on that, as does location. And that's what I've tried to emphasize in that guide.
Yes, in fact, you have a monthly guide of the best events per month. We're in May, which is a season for a lot of migration. And you said the best place by far to see this, to witness this, is on Star Island, which is on the Isles of Shoals.
Yes, and actually when Taylor called, I was on Star. He called a couple
really?
Of weeks. Yeah, absolutely. And the signal on Star Island is very good. So anyone planning to go out there, bring your mobile phone.
But can they get there? That's the thing. There is the ferry running at this time of year?
It runs. Star Island is owned by the Unitarian Universalist Corporation, and they're very welcoming to day trip visitors. There is scheduled trips that run from the end of May onwards. Unfortunately, the best birding really is from the late April to late May, and then September and October when the island is close to scheduled ferry services, but you know you can charter a ferry and they welcome you out there, and it's really terrific. And
those who are quite keen can charter a ferry.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely, and it's just phenomenal out there. But it's one of many places in the state that are excellent.
What is the ideal weather for spring birding?
Well, for Star, for instance, birds like to. Spend as little energy as possible. So in spring, they like southerly winds to help them go north. And in fall, they like northerly winds to help them go south. And if you get a low pressure system over the East Coast that brings sustained southerly winds, that's great for the birds. It's not great for birders because, most birds will just pass overhead with unobstructed weather conditions and continue on into Canada, where many of them breed. But if you have a frontal system that comes in with rain and some sort of inclement weather, it can ground them, and so you can get these amazing fallouts. And one of the reasons Star is so good is if you think of a square mile of sky, so to speak, over a landmass. Well, when they get grounded by bad weather, you don't have a magnification effect. But if you take a square mile of sky over the sea, the birds are going to find the nearest point of land. And Star Island is 46 acres, so you get one square mile of migrants migrating at night, looking to pack into 46 acres during the day. And the magnification effect can be amazing. It can be really a thrilling thing to witness.
It sounds like birders have to be a little bit of meteorologist as well, then.
Yes, absolutely. Nowadays, yes, absolutely.
Well, what are some of the tools maybe that can help somebody? I mean, of course, we have many people carry iPhones. Anything that you use, high-tech devices or other sort of guidance to help find birds?
Well, actually, yeah. I mean, the web, I started birding when I was 11, and the tools available to a birder now are just so different. And one of the, you mentioned meteorology, one of the tools now that's really an excellent guide to when to go birding is the National Network of Weather Radar Stations. There's more than 100 of them situated around the country, and they're run by NOAA and the National Weather Service to predict bad weather. And we've seen the tragic events of bad weather in Oklahoma, but they also pick up bird migration, and you can tell by radar, and I have information in the book, you can tell by radar, and on my website, ericmasterson.com, you can tell when there's a major migration event going on and get out the next morning and reap the benefits. It's really terrific.
We'll make sure and put a link to that on our website, wordofmouthradio.org. I'm wondering, we're talking with lifelong birder and birdwatching tour leader Eric Masterson about his new book. It's called Birdwatching in New Hampshire. Not a field guide, but a region-by-region guide for finding species and migratory events. I'm wondering, Eric, you mentioned weather. Have you noticed any changes in migration patterns due to climate change or changing weather patterns?
Yeah, I mean, studies will show, and bird watchers are, I mean, most bird watchers that I know do it for pleasure, but there's a scientific component to it. The data that they submit to national databases like eBird help scientists track early, changing patterns and trends. And so there is evidence that some birds, in Europe there have been studies that show that some birds are arriving on territory earlier to take advantage of earlier hatching insects. Just this year, not a climate change event, but this year the high pressure, which brought us wonderful May weather, everyone was delighted with the weather we had in early May, but it really blocked birds from migrating north. So it's been an incredibly slow spring, and many birds are just arriving on territory now.
What's the most unusual species that you've seen in New Hampshire?
When I was on Star last week, I saw an American crow. What does unusual mean? I would ask the question, what does unusual mean? On Star Island, I saw an American crow, which is a very rare bird out there, very common here. Mm-hmm. So, but I guess a ruff in the Connecticut River Valley was very unusual. Some shorebirds. Unusual, by my way of thinking, unusual means out of place or out of time. And so a bird that could be common on the coast but, you know, shows up in a plowed field in Charlestown, well, that's an unusual bird, even if it's common on the coast.
Didn't you also find a Canadian goose in Walpole, New Hampshire?
Oh, that was terrific, yeah.
Yeah, tell me about that.
That was wonderful. These are the moments that I live for. So in 2011, I was birding along the Connecticut River Valley, and it was in March, which is peak season for migrating waterfowl, and I spotted a Canada goose with a yellow neck collar inscribed with the letters GJN. So I sent it off to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, who coordinate these activities, and I forgot about it. And then 6 months later, I got an email from a fellow in Denmark who said that he had banded the bird in Greenland. And it was just wonderful just to be able to, you know, to know in theory that these birds breed in Greenland and winter in the mid-Atlantic states is one thing, but to see them is in the flesh is really a remarkable thing. And then 2 years passed, and no one saw the bird, and I saw it again this year, not 3 miles away from the exact same spot where it occurred 2 years ago. So it had been back and forth to Greenland twice since I had seen it last.
In the minute that we have left, I'm wondering what we can look forward to in June for birders.
Well, migration starts to slow down at the end of May, but June is a terrific month to go. One of the specialties for birders in New Hampshire is the North Country. We have this wonderful landscape of the White Mountains and Pittsburgh, the North Country north of the White Mountains, which is typified by spruce fir, and there are birds there that you don't get anywhere else in the state. And there are some amazingly beautiful places up there where you can see some of our most iconic breeding birds like Bicknell's thrush in Pondicherry and Audubon Sanctuary, and some spots in Pittsburgh, which are, again, in the book. So definitely, go north in June.
Go north in June. Well, I know that you're going to be signing books in several different places. You'll be migrating around yourself.
We'll make sure
and have a list of all of those places at wordofmouthradio.org. And Eric Masterson, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks very much, Virginia.
Eric is, as we said, he's going to be all across the state this summer talking about his new book. We'll have a link and a complete list of speaking engagements at wordofmouthradio.org. So coming up, what does the death of Ivan Ilyich mean to a kid in a juvenile correction facility? Maybe a lot more than you'd think. We're going to talk to the founder of Books Behind Bars when Word of Mouth continues.